That's the only way these days, dude. I got to find a dark corner full of cobwebs and beat off like Gollum, dude.
Oh, yes, my precious.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
I'm feeling kind of lonely in here. It's just me and the wait, which one am I? I'm Hal. No, Hal's the robot, right?
Hal's the robot.
And I'm I would be who?
I don't know. One of those guys.
Dave. Yeah. It's just me and a fucking robot. But we have a spacious place to sit now.
Yeah, you got the whole couch to yourself.
Yeah, I'm gonna get off my diet and start growing again.
All right, so we got a couple of things to cover before we get into it. First of all, DLG Con House.
So we have four rooms left, but that means 14 spaces. That means, you know, we have some really big rooms with bunk beds and whatnot. So all the expensive ones, a lot of the expensive ones are taken. But don't forget, there's also a smooth, nice room with Captain Gummy. He needs a partner. And if you've never had a gummy, you want to get your first one from Captain Gummy, if you know what I mean. That's still available as well.
Yep. Yeah, so if you don't mind bunking up with a stranger, guys, making it weird, then you can get in on one of these spaces, maybe split one of the rooms. And yeah, or if you need the whole place to yourself, then yeah, we got four of those left. They're going quick. Prices go up after April, so make it happen.
Try to get in that orgy room.
I think the nursery's already taken, though.
All right, we could cut the music. All right. It's getting me hard.
We could let that go the whole show.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it kind of sets a little more of a relaxing tone.
Also, we are trying to break Golf It. And we have full blessings from the developers, which is nice.
Yeah, so the interview with the guys that made Golf It is going to be coming out on Friday, February 14th. I don't want to step on the interview and kind of spoil what we talk about in there, but they tell some very interesting stories about how the game came to be and, you know, just their philosophy towards the game design. It's really, wow. It was a really good interview, and this is going to be, again, out Friday, 2 days before we try to get as many people as we can into Golf It to see what happens. So hopefully you're going to be a part of that. We're going to advertise even outside of the podcast, and they gave us 15 free copies, 15 free copies of Golf It to give away. So if you don't have this game, then, I mean, like, almost everyone on the Discord has it. So if you don't have it, I mean, you got a very good chance of getting it.
I think that's how we'll do it, right? We're not going to have a contest or anything. We'll just give it to people who show up and are willing to try to break it, right? We haven't really thought about
it. Yeah, we haven't really discussed that, but I would assume so. I'd like to see the copies go to people who don't have the game.
All right.
I think that would be fair. But yeah, and it's just a great game to have. So join us February 16th, 2 p.m. Pacific time is when it kicks off. But join the Discord before that.
Also, this podcast and all previous ones before are brought to you by Insidious, which is my hot sauce, insidious.com. It's the word insidious with the seed in it. See what we did there? It's because it's an oil and chili-based hot sauce, has six different seeds. Two of them are super spicy. Despite our skull and crossbones logo, it's not like death sauce. We're not talking about, like, you know, I would say it's probably around habanero level would be the fire one, and then jalapeno would be the original. So if you can handle and enjoy those two, go to insidious.com, and at checkout, use DLG, all capitals, and you'll get 10% off your order. Also, if you've already ordered it and you thought maybe it was a little too expensive, because you were an early adopter and all that stuff, we were able to buy our second round of, you know, everything that we need. And we saved money because we bought in bulk this time. So we dropped the price by $2. It's $11 a jar, and plus the 10% off. So thank you so much. Sniper says, got my Insidious today, put it on a sandwich. Rianne ate half the original in that time with a fucking cracker. Sad. What? Rianne ate half the original in that time. Oh, in the time that it told you took you to finish the sandwich?
Like I put it on a sandwich?
Yeah, I'm going to have to proofread that next time.
How long does it take you to make a sandwich?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the sandwich.
So apparently she liked it, is what you're saying. All right, cool.
All right. So before we get to our audio games, we're going to do our On the Radar section here, talk a little bit about some games that have come to our attention. We're going a little light on these this episode. There are a lot posted in Discord, but I just picked the ones that spoke to me personally. The first one being Synthetic Legion Rising. Synthetic spelled with a K.
And if you put it, something in there for me, I didn't even have time to look at the radar today, so... If all these games are lame, it's specifically because of Bobby.
Well, I think this one is for you. So it says, Synthetic is an unforgiving tactical shooter roguelite where freedom and experimentation is key. Fight in a world overrun by Machine Legion and their gods, experience the next level in gunplay and dive into unparalleled build options, Android upgrades. Can you defeat the Heart of Armageddon? It looks
this is
like,
bot, dude.
Yeah,
this
it is looks fantastic. Yeah. I mean, the whole roguelike thing doesn't really appeal to me, but this looks perfect for you. It's $19.99, not a bad price. Reviews are really good, overwhelmingly positive.
Bot. Just take a look. Do yourself a favor, look this up on Steam. How do you spell this, Bobby?
So Synthetic with a K.
Yeah. And it's a twin stick shooter right up my alley. Roguelike right up my alley.
It looks a lot like Helldivers. I watched a little gameplay of this, like someone actually playing through the game on YouTube. And it really is. Like, this got very popular because a big streamer promoted this game and like everyone kind of found out about it through that. But I watched his YouTube video and the gameplay and him kind of explaining the game. And it does look different than a lot of the other games out there that do a little bit of the same thing. So a twin stick shooter kind of looks like Helldivers a little bit, but it's all about getting these different upgrades and these different types of, you have classes first, but then you get different weapons and upgrades and you combine those in these really weird ways to just murder hordes and hordes of enemies. And then you get points or some sort of currency based on how like creative you kill them or how many you can kill in as little time as possible or something like that. So it's
let's go up, Bobby.
Yeah, I believe it is. Is it?
Yeah.
Online co-op.
Sick.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be very, very difficult. You know, it's a roguelike, so you're not supposed to beat it the first time around. You're supposed to keep hammering away at it until you get better at it.
Yep. Man.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Looks good. $20. So that seems decent. Yeah. That looks like a good game. I figured cool. That'd be a hit.
Perfect.
All right. Next up is Darksburg. This game I don't believe is out yet. Let's see here. No, out February 12th, so 2 days.
2 days.
So Darksburg is a fast-paced cooperative action game. Traverse the streets of Darksburg as an unlikely band of survivors or lurk in the darkness as a deviant revenants. So this kind of looks like Diablo, but a little more cartoony, maybe even more like Torchlight. Very much like Torchlight, now that I think about it.
It does, but what do they mean by or lurk in the darkness as a deviant? So There's enemies that are controlled by people?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Hmm.
I take one look at this. I'm like, all right, it's, you know, a fun animated dungeon crawler or whatever we're calling these games these days, you know, like Diablo or Torchlight. There's a lot of action. It almost seems a little bit like Gauntlet, you know, how there's so much action. There is a dwarf character, very cool. But this comes from Shiro Games. These are the guys that made Evoland 1 and 2, which I definitely recommend if you've never played those games.
Chad fucking loved Evoland 2. He gave it Game of the Year, I think, the year that it
came out.
Yeah,
he was really into that game. And I mean, I'm not going to say they're the most amazing games, but they are they're the games that I love the most. Like games that are just kind of smaller in scope, but just very unique, and they have something that's very cool about them, like just weird little quirky, you know, kind of like those Ace Team games.
So like you said, Bobby, I guess the closest thing it looks to like is Torchlight, but it's a little bit of a darker aesthetic. It kind of reminds me of the werewolf part of WoW Land. Where are those guys from?
The werewolf, like Greymane.
Yeah.
I can't
Were you still
remember.
Playing when the werewolves came out as a race?
Yeah, I rolled a priest. They're not werewolves. What are they called?
They are werewolves, though.
No, they got a name. They got a name for that race. I'm going to look it up now. So,
anyway, but it looks from the pictures, it looks like you're almost fighting exclusively zombies and hordes of them. Not like your traditional like monsters and stuff. Anyway, this looks good to me. I'm kind of digging this.
I wonder what it seems like maybe a $20, $30 price point, like I would guess.
Yeah,
but
I would agree. 30, no, 35.
No price out yet. They were called Worgen, by the way. Worgen. Yeah. But yeah, I had a Worgen priest that I rolled for quite some time when those guys came out.
Oh, we have a new Patreon. Thank you, Red Rum. I didn't put it on the notes, but I saw you come in.
Oh, yeah, Red Rum.
Thank you so much, man.
He's on the Discord as well.
Yeah. As soon as that payment goes through, and I know you're not a punk, I'll send you a t-shirt. How about that?
All right, so that's Darksburg. Looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like the other one better, but this one, I don't know. The other one's a roguelike, though, and I don't do those, so tough call. All right, last game that I wanted to bring up is called Hoko Life. It's basically Animal Crossing. I never played Animal Crossing. I hear people talk about that game all the time. That's like a Nintendo, some sort of, what are the handheld Nintendo things? I don't know, console.
It was on the DS, I believe.
The DS, okay, yeah. You know, people love that game. This looks very similar to it.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Let's design exactly how we're going to put our throw pillows.
Yeah, a lot of options here.
This is the stuff I fucking hate, man. But, you know, what I do like is... there's a bunch of stuff that, like, there's a bunch of Nintendo games that we know we're never going to get, but smaller developers are finding out, or not finding out, but they're following the footsteps of, let's see, what was the first one? I guess the big one was Stardew Valley. That was the first one to do, you know, bring over something from Nintendo that we weren't going to get.
Yeah, but that wasn't like exclusively Nintendo. I mean, I guess you could say SNES, but I never really thought of that as like a Nintendo IP.
Which one am I thinking about? Well, just recently there's that Temtem, right? So that's nobody was going to make Pokemon for the PC, so somebody finally made it instead of porting it. And then now we have this one.
Yeah, and there was that game that we played, Pummel Party. That was like a Mario Party ripoff. But here's the thing, though. They're all Nintendo knockoffs, and they're never as good as the actual Nintendo games. Like, Nintendo has that thing I was talking about earlier, that je ne sais quoi. You know, it has that, like, little thing in it that just makes it really fun, really enjoyable, and, you know, makes you happy and not in, like, a compulsive, addictive way. So I don't know. I do like that they're trying to do these, but they're never quite the same as Nintendo. But yeah, I mean, it could be cool. So Hoko Life, no price on that. Release date 2020.
So zero. I will, as much as I'm going to buy synthetic, I'm going to not buy this. That's how much I'm not going to buy it.
I don't know. Sometimes I get hooked on games like this, like Slime Rancher.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe. Maybe, probably not.
Remember Slam, you were like breeding them, right? Trying to get different kind of rare ones?
Yeah, you'd like capture them. You'd have to feed them, and they would produce certain things. And yeah, you could like combine different ones. It was just like a whole farming thing.
And you'd catch them in a net, right?
How did you catch them?
Because I remember thinking it was weird that you catch them in a net, but they're slime. They could just probably slime out of there.
Well, the containers you held them in were like
Tupperware?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. All right, so that is it for On the Radar. Time for some audio games. Do 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 do. All right.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a giant. What do we need? We need something.
Yeah, we need like a little game show tune to play right here. Cricket's already in the call. Didn't even know it. Somebody slipped him right in. He's been listening the whole time. What's up, Cricket? How you doing?
The word you're looking for is jingle.
Jingle.
Yeah, we need a jingle.
Little jingle.
Dun, 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 dun. No,
I think that one's already taken.
That's an outro. What's up, Cricket?
Playing Ark, man.
Hey, stop playing Ark, dude. You're gonna play our game. Why are you not sharing the super sexy room with Captain Gummy? I thought you guys were buds.
I put in for like the first room that came up.
Oh, that's right.
All right. So you will be at, you're at DLG Con 2019. You're going to be at DLG Con 2020. Return.
Oh, yeah.
There.
It's going to be a blast.
Good times.
Have you seen them, dude? Have you seen the pictures in the DLG gymming?
Oh, DL gymming?
Yeah.
No, I haven't been in that channel in a while.
So he basically looks like the guy who plays Captain America. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I know who you're talking
Chris
about.
Chris something.
Chris Evans.
Evans. Evans. Yeah. He's got Chris Evans' beard, and he's been in the gym all... He's basically never going to be shown up by clown lotion ever again. Is what's going on?
It's a competition. We're going to have like a bodybuilding competition.
It's true. I've been building my body, but the wrong parts.
The wrong areas. All right, so the record is 2 out of 3 so far. We got JP Diddy at 2, Captain Gummy at 1. How do you think you're going to do here, Cricket?
Oh, if I get shown up by Gummy, I'm going to be laughing stock for a while.
I think you're going to do all right. I think you're going to at least tie here. All right, so let's start out with who said that. This is going to be a quote from one of the casters. You got to tell us which caster said this.
He's got this.
Yeah, I think he got this one. All right. That quote is, that idea is worse than Evolve 2.
What the hell is Evolve 2?
It doesn't exist for good reason. But one caster in response to, I don't know what game we were talking about, but someone said in response.
I was saying some bullshit and you
okay,
you
well
shot
now you're
down.
giving ooh. Hints now.
Ooh.
So remember,
I think it was Ray.
You think that was Ray? Oh no, that was me. That was me.
Yep.
Yep.
Bobby's
that was in our intro for a little while.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was when we had the little sound bites in our intro a long time ago. Yep. All right.
So it definitely wasn't Chi, because Chi doesn't play games, and it wasn't Amelia. So it was either Bobby or Ray.
Yeah. Well, it could have been Chad or Minnie. But yeah, that doesn't seem like something Emilio would say.
No.
Yeah. But I'm constantly dumping on games, or at least I used to be. I don't know. I've been pretty positive lately. I've been trying to turn it around. All right, next question. Which one is that? So this is where we ask a question regarding a franchise, and you tell us which game from the franchise it was. Hopefully you've played some Grand Theft Auto games. Which Grand Theft Auto game did the player first receive a text message? The first GTA to have text messages.
What we don't want is dead air.
He's thinking.
Grand Theft Auto 4?
Oh, I forgot my sound effects. Yeah, that is correct.
Give him the buzzer, too.
Oh, you get the buzzer for the first one.
Yeah, give him two because it was delayed.
That's only one wrong answer. All right. So, yes, Grand Theft Auto 4. I would not have gotten that one. Was that? And I started thinking.
I would have said 3.
3?
Yeah.
But 3 came out in like. Early 2000s, yeah. Right? Before text messages were really popular. So, I can't remember if San Andreas was between the two. I don't know. I might have been able to get that one.
Yeah.
All right. So, for the next one, we're going to play an audio clip, and you got to tell us what game that's from. Do you want a song, or do you want a sound effect?
Sound effect.
All right. Everyone goes for the sound effect.
Yeah, you're going to run out of those quick.
No, I put a bunch more today. Okay. Ooh, okay. I'm not going to do that one. I'm saving one for clown lotion. I'll give him that one later. All right. That's too easy. That's too easy. Oh, that's way too easy.
You're the first person that's ever saved themselves for clown lotion, dude.
All right. I got one for you. I don't think it's going to be too hard, but it might be.
Mortality clarified in a single strike.
Ooh, I know that.
Yeah.
He's not going to get it.
I don't know if he's
going to. Is that from Heroes of the Storm?
Ooh. No, it is not.
Can I do it? Or you would save it. Save it for later.
Oh, Mini Grass guessed Warcraft 3? No, I feel like we got to give the answer. Oh,
okay. It's Darkest Dungeon.
Darkest Dungeon, yeah.
If you haven't played Darkest Dungeon, do yourself a favor and go play it. It's very unique. Very unique.
I didn't get all the DLCs. I got 2 of them, but I put 200 hours into that game. And then after that, I was just like totally done with the game. Mm-hmm. Just like, all right, I'll never play this again. Got it out of my system. But hey, 200 hours. That's pretty good.
That's a lot.
All right. So, well, you tied Gummy 1 out of 3. So not bad there. if you come back on again, you can get some more points. We'll be tallying these up throughout the year and keeping track. So you still got a chance. But we want to give you a shot to guess what's in the bag. I will say I was playing some Deep Rock Galactic with JP Diddy, who was our last caller last week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And he said, I think I know what's in the bag. And I was like, all right, what do you think? And he said something. I was like, ooh, you're actually really close, but no.
Oh.
He was on the right track.
No, I was just going to say one of the SMGs in Deep Rock, I think, sounds a lot like it, though.
All SMGs sound the same. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
A gun sounds the same in every language.
Sniper.
What movie was that from? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to play the sound for you, Cricket, and you're going to try and tell us where this is from and what it is.
Gosh, it's so tough.
It's tough, but it's... The answer is out there. Once you know the answer, everyone's going to be like, of course. So we had guesses were a Warthog from Halo.
SMG from Counter-Strike.
Was it Counter-Strike?
Yeah, okay. That's what JP Diddy said.
Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone feels strongly about the SMG. But what game? And is it an SMG?
Yeah, is that a red herring? Who knows?
Any ideas, Cricket?
You got me stumped on this one.
Okay.
It does sound like an SMG. A burst.
Like a burst fire? Stab in the dark, any game? Any game with a gun?
The jackpot's up to 15 bucks now?
15 bucks.
I don't have a guess for you guys.
Gummy with a Twitch Prime. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Well, looks like it's going up to 20 bucks next time.
Yep. That's climbing pretty quick.
Yeah. See, if someone figures it out, they'd be smart not to say it and just wait until it gets up pretty high and then cash in.
That's like going to an auction and like raising it up. You know, like you have a plant in the...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. All right, Cricket. Well, thank you very much for playing. And we'll track your scores. Hopefully you do better next time.
Bobby,
play it one more time.
One more time? All right, here we go.
One more time. Yeah, I got none.
Wait, did he guess?
No.
Come on, you got to throw something out there, dude.
For a second, it sounded like the Half-Life 2 rifle, but it's not.
Okay, so I will divulge some information.
That's what
JP Diddy said. All right. That is, I don't want to tell you that... Closer, you're on the right track because that's not. That's kind of misleading.
Stop talking.
Yeah. Okay.
Just stop. All right.
Folks.
Later, dude.
All right. See you later, Craig.
Later.
Thanks for playing.
All right.
That guy has 3,000 hours in Ark. He couldn't even stop playing Ark to come play with us.
Yeah, but you know what? Ark doesn't demand all your attention. You just run around in the forest and poop on the ground. Like it's. It's pretty wild.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we got some bits coming in. Red Rum, thank you very much.
Thanks, dude. And he just gave shared emotes with everybody, I think, is what that says.
I got to keep the other screen up. I want to see if our little notifications are working on Twitch. All right. So, time for highlights. Not a whole lot to talk about here this week.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What happened, Emilio? Nothing?
I work and I have a baby and I get home and the chores still need to be done. Like, man. And not just that, it's like the wife wants quality time, you know? So like when I get home, I right now the baby's too little for me to be in the garage. I feel like I got to be close.
Yeah. It's pretty gross in there. I don't know if I'd bring the baby in there yet.
Yeah. No. I mean,
oh, like, you're just saying like that far away from her.
Yeah. That far away from her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call my garage gross. No, it's pretty gross. There's dog hair everywhere. So I spend most of my time in the bedroom. Those controllers that I talked about, that you get the little tiny Joy-Con, you put it in this plastic mold, and you have a full-size controller, right? Two full-size controllers. They're garbage. Basically, it feels really nice. Everything feels good.
How much did you pay for them?
10 bucks for two.
Okay, yeah.
But I did buy four because we have two Switches. So on the top of the little tiny Joy-Con, there's actually two buttons, just like most games, right? Mm-hmm. There's the shoulder buttons, and there's the, I don't know what, there's right and left bumper.
Yeah.
Bumpers and buttons, I think is what they're called. Anyway, there's only one on top. So we weren't even able to play Binding of Isaac.
Wow.
Which was the whole reason I bought those things. So we could play Binding of Isaac, me and Sam.
Yeah.
And Mario Party. So anyway, so we bought Pro controllers. And
okay.
We used Amazon, what's it called? Prime Now. Have you ever used it, Bobby?
Prime Now, is that where you get it shipped same day?
That's 1 or 2 hours, yeah.
Okay.
Depending on how much you want to pay.
Yeah, I think that happened one time. Like, it was available at no extra charge, so I got it.
Oh, okay.
Those are always kind of strange. The delivery guy on those are always kind of a little weird. Like, it's just like they got some random dude to deliver it.
Well, that's how Amazon does most of the deliveries.
Yeah.
We bought Pro controllers, and we needed them now because we want to play some goddamn Binding of Isaac. And I must say, the Pro controller, the Nintendo Switch Pro controller, might be the nicest feeling controller I've ever felt in my hands, man.
Wow.
It is so nice. Like, I don't know. After this, if you don't run away, I'll let you hold it for a little.
Well, we got a meeting after this, by
That's
the way,
true.
That you can be a part of if you sign up for the DLG Con house.
Yeah, so we should have said that up front. But yeah, we're having a meeting about the DLG Con. And if you are maybe even interested in going, mm-hmm. stick around.
We'll yeah, if you're showing up, you got a voice in the matter. So, you know, be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, $10, I would kind of assume those wouldn't be too great. But
everything's great except for that one little thing. Like, it's just almost a design flaw. Do you know what I'm saying? There's only one button for two different actions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that seems like a really big oversight,
yeah,
though. Like,
yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, you know, I played one new game today. I played too much Deep Rock Galactic again. I was playing with JP Diddy, and I don't know. There's nothing really new on that front. But I also played some more Warcraft. Me and Sniper played some. They had a huge patch for it, like 2 gigs. They fixed a lot of the issues that people were complaining about. The cutscenes thing, let's stop complaining about that. That's not a real issue, guys. I don't know. Not for me, at least. I shouldn't speak for everyone. But what happened after this patch was when I played Versus, I got really bad stuttering. Not like lag, maybe lag, but like every 4 seconds, the game would freeze for half a second consistently throughout the entire match. So I don't know what happened. Something must have broke when they patched it. I'm sure they'll fix it again, but that was really annoying. They did finally get rid of the problems that were made it so I had to restart the game every time I completed a mission. But yeah, I'm still enjoying it. Like, I'm not super upset about that purchase.
I did, the little bit that I did play was a little more Grim Dawn. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play with Chad and Diddy again. So they played, and now I'm playing catch up, you know, like playing by myself.
Yeah.
And I just want to expand a little bit on why, a little bit of why it's so good and why people like it. I think the biggest thing is, like, if you really like Diablo 2, this is almost like a spiritual successor. Not a spiritual successor, but it picks up, like, it took everything that D2 did right and just kept going. Especially the character building. I tried to explain it last time, but there's probably like 7 classes, and you end up getting, I think by the time you get to level 80, you have something like 80 skill points, right? So you can get pretty much all the good stuff in one class with 50 points. So then you have to mix with another class. And that's where you can, and you don't have to wait till you fill out one class. You can just start multi-classing right away.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much, like, you know, synergies. And then within a class, there's different ways that you can go. So you really feel like your character is your own. Like, I almost feel like I'm experimenting and coming up with my own shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At first, I started playing a necromancer, but it felt a lot like the occultist, where I just had a million pets running around, and I was going down the same road. And I was like, see, I don't want to do that. So now I'm like a two-handed wielding Necromancer, and I mixed him with the warrior class. So basically, I get in there and I do like arcing, you know, damaging the everything in front of me. And then when I get low, I'm kind of a death knight. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And then I can, what do you call it? Like life drain. He puts out his hand and he life drains the entire room, basically. So I can just like stand there and fill my health back up and then fuck up the next group of people. And it, like I came up with that on my own and it's fucking sweet. You know, like I was like, oh, let's do this. And it worked out.
You don't have the urge to go online and just look up what the best build is and do that.
I did. And none of them were really satisfying. Yeah. Like I was like, I don't really want to do it. Even though they're probably right. They've probably done the math and they're probably doing way more damage than I am. I'm happy with what like my creation came out and it's working, you know?
Cause that's what happens with Diablo 3. Like eventually you just end up looking up what the best thing is. And then you can really like almost turn your damage like double, triple, like exponential amount. Yeah. And that's when you just start grinding. But it kind of turns into this addictive circle that isn't very satisfying. Yeah. And I feel like Diablo 2 is like the paragon of these types of games that everybody's always trying to achieve when they make one of these dungeon crawlers.
That's what we used to have this discussion back when we were playing Smite, Bobby, where like there was obviously the meta says that we need this character, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our group, and then that would fill us out really nicely and we'd have a better cohesive group. And then I would argue that like I rather play the guy that I'm really good at or feel most comfortable with, and I feel like I would contribute more even though it wouldn't be part of the you know what I mean. And then so like now, right now I'm really enjoying the game even though I'm not maybe
I'm
not
but I don't know if Smite's the right comparison, because that's PvP, and if you're really good at a character, then you're going to be more effective on that character than someone else who may be a little more suited for the match. But in like a dungeon crawler, at least in Diablo 3, it's just the physical requirements, like the dexterity, like it isn't very high in that game. You're basically just clicking on bad guys, and in some cases just holding down buttons and moving across the screen. You're basically building a killing machine.
Yeah.
You know, and you just watch it play out with minimal effort. The fun is really in creating the builds.
I'm just kind of racing through. I'm trying to get to the DLC that we bought, and the only part of the DLC that I get right now is the extra classes and the devotion spec. The devotion spec is almost exactly what Path of the Exile had. It has constellations, and you can branch out in different directions. And, you know, depending on how you want to play it, every constellation that you fill out, you get a bonus for.
God, the loot looks so much like Diablo.
Dude, it's basically a Diablo clone, but
yeah,
it's really well done.
Yeah, I mean, the reviews are great.
Yep.
All right, so the game I played this week, if you listen to my last interview with David and Mike from Killing Floor 2, I think one of the high points of that interview is I talked to Mike Stone about his list of favorite games, and one of them was The Dig, and this is a game that has always been on my mind. The Dig is a LucasArts game from the mid-90s, 1995, and I was always attracted to it because I knew Steven Spielberg was involved with this. He is actually really into video games, especially in the 90s. And he would play a lot of them, and he kind of dabbled a little bit in creating them back in the 90s. And this is one of the games that he was involved with.
Do you have any idea if he still plays or what he plays?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting to find out, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd kind of be surprised if he did. I don't know. Games have changed so much. But yeah, so he was involved in making this game. Orson Scott Card, author of Ender's Game, wrote a lot of the dialogue for this game. So some very big names in here, and it really shows. So it's a point-and-click adventure game, and it's just like a lot of the other LucasArts ones. The puzzles actually start out fairly easy compared to some of the other ones around this time. But this game, I see what Mike was talking about in the interview. There is something very special about this game. This game is a diamond in the rough. Like, if you look at it, the graphics, of course, are not that great. They're very pixelated. It's very old school. And it's got some of the detriments that other point-and-click adventure games have from this time period that...
Seems hard to get away from, right?
Well, no, because I was actually going to reference another interview that's coming out later. I talked to Paul Conway, who made Spooky Doorways, and he really started talking, or not Spooky Doorways, he made Dark Side Detective. His company is Spooky Doorways. But he talks about, you know, how the things they did in that game to kind of correct some of the things that have always bugged us about point-and-click adventure games. And I didn't even notice some of the things you were talking about, but I was like, dude, that's right. Like, you totally solved that problem. Mm. But, you know, there's issues in these old games. Like, it takes a while for a character to cross the screen and walk to an area. When you interact with an object, it takes a while for the character to actually do that. When you talk, or when the dialogue plays out, there's these awkward pauses in between each of them. Like, it's not a smooth experience. I mean, this is 1995, though, so right. I cut it some slack. But the game, the story in this game is so Spielberg. It feels like a movie. It was supposed to be a movie. I did a little background research on this game, The Dig. It was supposed to be a movie. It was going to be too expensive to make as a movie. Spielberg was really interested in video games, so he's like, let's just make a video game out of it. Dang. The game is basically, it starts out like, what's that? Armageddon. Okay, there's an asteroid coming towards Earth. It's on a direct course. Gonna
Excuse
smash
me, I prefer
us.
Deep Impact as my go-to asteroid
really?
Impact. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, because Armageddon, I mean, I'm not speaking about the quality of those movies, but I feel like Armageddon is like everybody's reference point for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just thought it was so funny that they came out the same.
It was, the same, yeah. But I mean, Armageddon, summer. I think, killed it. They had the Aerosmith song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you haven't seen that movie, don't worry about it. But the plot is there's an asteroid coming to towards Earth. Bruce Willis has got to go up there and drop a bomb on this thing to destroy it before it impacts. That's basically what's happening in The Dig. But the space crew goes up there, and it turns out the asteroid is actually like an alien spaceship that transports them to a distant planet. And then the adventure really starts there. So these three astronauts marooned on a distant planet, trying to figure out what's going on there, kind of digging up the remains of aliens and figuring out all these mysterious stuff. And it was supposed to be kind of a combination of Forbidden Planet and The Treasure of Sierra Madre. Now, I've never seen Forbidden Planet, but that's pretty much what I just described as that plot. Treasure of Sierra Madre, though, I definitely saw the influence here. If you have not seen this movie, I rarely recommend old movies because I just get that people are not going to be that into them. But this is one from 1948 that feels so contemporary. It's you've heard of the movie before. It's where the quote, "We don't need no stinking badges," comes from.
Oh, okay.
It's that movie. And also the whole trope of like people like killing themselves over like one item they're all obsessed with. The movie is about these guys. They go out, they mine a bunch of gold, and one of them goes crazy because he's trying. He gets paranoid because he thinks everyone's going to like screw him over and steal his gold. And his paranoia ends up bringing about his demise. It's got Humphrey Bogart. It's a great movie. Like, it's just about these couple of characters and their relationships and the tension that builds in between them. And that's totally what happens in The Dig here, because you've got these three different characters. One of them's an archaeologist. One of them's the captain. So he's like the level-headed hero. The other one's a news reporter who can also speak like a ton of different languages. So she's trying to decipher the alien language. But a lot of the story really revolves around the tension between these characters. Like, it's like a great movie hidden in like a really old dusty video game. It was so weird to play this game.
Did you finish it?
No. I messed up. I forgot to get a piece somewhere, and now I'm at a part where it says, "Oh, well, you've been collecting, you collected all three of these metal plates, right? Well, you know, just use them here with this fourth one to get past this point." Now I got to figure out where that one plate I didn't pick up was. So I got to go through the entire...
Well, I would just fucking look it up, right?
Yeah, well, and I probably will, but
just for the sake of brevity.
I do want to see what happens with the end of it. Like,
damn, dude.
It's all building towards something. It was a great experience, man. Like, I totally see how people... This must have been insane in the 90s to play a game like this.
With this good of a story?
I mean, this is a... I mean, this would be a great story, like in a movie, and just to see that in a game when you never saw good stories in a game in the 90s, like name a video game. Well, There's some good ones now, yeah. But we're really like figuring out how to actually weave story and video games together now. Back then it was just like, give them a couple cutscenes. But
well, Sniper had a great idea that we should interview Steven Spielberg next. Right, yeah. After Henry, yeah, man. Cavill.
I mean, he was at the Oscars last night. That's true. He's alive and well.
Do you want to talk about the Oscars?
Yeah.
Was it a highlight of your week?
I mean,
you watched
yeah.
it live.
Yeah, I watched it live.
Why? Dude, there's so much fluff and filler.
No, not anymore. They got rid of the host.
Okay.
There's a lot of commercials. Man, every time I watch TV, I'm just like, oh my God, dude, is this what it was yeah. always like with the commercials? Yeah. Like, oh. But yeah, it was about what I expected. I was very pleased with Parasite winning Best Picture and like cleaning up. That was the one I wanted to see win. And I was like, no way it does. But it totally did. And it felt like everything was kind of spread out a little evenly across the movies. Like everybody got credit. Netflix and The Irishman did not do well. Not surprised there, though.
Do you think it's because it was from Netflix?
Yeah, the Academy does not like Netflix, which is why I think Roma would have won last year if it hadn't been on Netflix. But same thing as Parasite. It was a foreign language film that cleaned up. Won a bunch of awards, but not Best Picture because, I don't know. But it was, I looked it up today. It was actually not watched by that many people. The viewership for the Oscars have been going down every year and dramatically in the last 2 years. So it went down to like 26 million a couple years or 2 years ago. Last year went back up to 29. This year down to 23.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, American Factory won, and that was on Netflix. That was a documentary. Yeah, they'll throw awards.
Oh, I saw that one.
Marriage Story. No, I haven't seen it. I do want to say I haven't watched any of the documentaries. I got really documentaried out this year, so I haven't been watching any of them. But, yeah, I do want to watch that. And Marriage Story, that's another Netflix movie. That did get one award. Laura Dern, very well deserved on that.
And that's going to be our next what is it called? Movies on the DL.
Movies on the DL.
So Bobby and I, for Patreons only, do a side podcast. Do you want to do one today? Do you think I have it in you? Oh, we have we can't do it
today. The meeting? Yeah, if the meeting went really quick, then maybe.
Yeah. And so that's Patreon exclusive content. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that. We're going to do The Irishman. Did you see it?
Yep.
And it'd be good to watch. What were you just talking about?
American Factory?
Yeah, I guess.
Or Parasite?
Yeah, sure. Both of those.
Yeah. I mean, Parasite would be fantastic. I'd love to talk about that movie. I already got my notes ready for Marriage Story and The Irishman. The next one, I think we're going to make available to everybody, though. So just you can see what it is and see if it's something you even want. It's basically just us talking about movies, but we do that a little bit here anyway.
Sure.
But this, we get a little more in-depth. That's our focus.
Yeah. Speaking of Netflix, that's basically all I've been doing, if I have any free time. My free time is spent holding the baby, watching Netflix when it's my turn. So basically, The Pharmacist is so good. It's a true story. And it's one of these guys that's kind of like a Bobby. You know, like he has his quirks. But is intelligent, you know. He's like this older guy that just always recorded everything. So that's why it makes it such a good documentary. And he has a good couple of stories that happens to him during his life. And you know, he's just like this old white guy, but down in Louisiana. But he's obsessive, and he gets obsessed about like justice. And so his son gets murdered, and he solves the murder when the cops wouldn't do anything. Just by being obsessive.
So is this based on a true story?
It is a true story. Yeah, yeah. And it's him telling the story. There's a little bit of like reenactment, but most of it is just like a straight documentary. It's a 4-part series. I think they're 1 hour each, maybe. Incredibly good. And then you think it's over when you get to the end of what happened to his son. And then it just goes into this other epic story right after that about how he was one of the very first people to identify that the Oxycontin epidemic was 10 years ahead of, you know, when they got in trouble and got sued. He was trying so hard to, like, anybody listen to me. And he was having a really hard time getting anybody to listen. and running into the whole like big pharma paying off, you know, lobbyists and all that. But man, this guy, I was like, Sam, is this guy Batman? And she's like, yeah, pretty much. He's fucking Batman. I can't believe how smart he is. But he's also, you know, a bit off, but I think
most really smart people are.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Comes at a cost.
Yeah, for sure. Incredible. Incredible. I was late to something because I couldn't, like, the second episode, I couldn't get through. I couldn't put it down. And the other one, Man in the High Tower. It, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about it. That's on Netflix. It's
The High Castle?
I'm sorry, High Castle, yeah. It's on Amazon Prime. And my thoughts are that people that are about my age that played the games that I played are now in the position to be making shows, you know, because I'm watching this show and it feels so much like Fallout, but then the setting is like Wolfenstein. So this is America if the Germans had won. And so they came over and they've already taken over the entire East Coast. And the Japanese took over the West Coast, and they kind of came to a truce. You know, the Axis won, and Americans are kind of caught in the middle, and there's a neutral zone right in the middle, kind of like the DMZ or something like that between North and South Korea. And that's the only place where like there's some lawlessness. But holy fuck, is it good? Like, I haven't enjoyed a show this much since maybe like Game of Thrones or so. Like the first few seasons of Game of Thrones, I am crazy amounts of invested into this. I haven't finished the first season, but I'm getting towards the end of the first season, and it's incredible, man. It's incredible how much they can do with, I don't know how their budget is, but I can't say so. I'm just crazy invested into this, but I don't have any fucking time.
There was, you know what I did this time watching the Oscars? There was an app called Hot Mic that Leonard Maltin, famous movie critic, was using to commentate the Oscars live. And I guess people use this app for sports. I would assume it works with maybe Twitch as well or any sort of big event that's streamed live. And you use the app to sync it with your TV. But what happens is just on your phone, you have a video feed and an audio feed of somebody just talking about it as it's being played.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I might look more into that. Maybe that's something we could use to, I don't know, for video games or for, you know, movies if we do some sort of movie night since Rabbit is no longer a thing.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was impressed with
it. Is it free?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all free. All right. Well, I guess that's it for highlights. Let's talk a little news here. There's actually a good amount of news going on right now.
We had hardly any for like a couple weeks.
I did not put this news here. I'm guessing that was you. Final Fantasy VII Remake timed exclusivity now ends in April 2021.
I think that was from last week.
Was anyway, it?
Yeah.
5 days ago? This was posted on PC Gamer?
Then, I don't know.
Okay. I read the article. Basically, they just pushed it back a month. I don't know. The exclusivity, the game comes out for PlayStation in April now, but the exclusivity ends a year from then, so we won't see it on PC, possibly. I don't know if that's been confirmed.
I don't think it's confirmed either.
Yeah. But I can wait.
Probably. You going to play it? Huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never played it. I've never played Final Fantasy, like, a lot. I've kind of, like, played a little bit here and there, but I've never actually sat down and played it because I've always been kind of waiting for a proper remake or a good version of it. And I kind of let people ruin it for me. Like, everyone's just like, oh, no, if you play it, you got to mod this and do that. So I kind of let that get to my head and just have never gotten around to it.
I just hope it doesn't fall flat, man. I hope they do a good job with it. I mean, it looks great, but that's not everything.
Yeah. Well, they're taking their time with it, so hopefully that's a good for sure. Thing. So last week we talked about how the record for concurrent Steam users was broken, and less than a week later it gets broken again. So not only Steam, but Counter-Strike Go have broken the all-time concurrent user records.
How is that game growing?
Well, they think it's because, well, first of all, the numbers here. So the record is now 19.1. It was broken last week and set at 18.8. So now we're up to 19.1 million. They think it is because of the coronavirus. A lot of people are staying indoors. They're closing schools, places of work, encouraging people to stay inside.
In China specifically?
In China, yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy who posted this on Twitter said that it was probably related to that. And I didn't know this, but later in the article on PC Gamer, it mentions that Valve is gearing up to release Steam China, which is a sanitized Chinese government-friendly version of the client that will have only 40 of the Steam's 30,000 games at launch.
Now, when you say sanitized, you don't mean free of coronavirus.
No. No. So this, I guess, is going to be a government-friendly version because they're very strict over there.
Yeah.
I even saw this with Heroes of the Storm. They would change the character models in the game. They would be less gory, or there were things that were missing there. And
I saw a headline that saying that the Chinese developers are concerned about the whole thing, that they're not going to be able to get their games onto regular Steam anymore. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to upload to Chinese Steam.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good thing for anybody, really, but I don't know.
Maybe it is to those Chinese virgin eyes, dude. They can't be seeing all that gore.
Maybe. I don't know how this affects Steam. Like it, because they're using Steam right now, so I don't know.
I can see.
This article was like the first time I became aware that they were even making a new version of it.
I could see them over at Epic be like, how are we going to get our numbers up? And they're like, we release a virus, right?
So that is that. All right, what's next? Capcom removes De Novo DRM from Devil May Cry 5. Now, I saw that title and I was like, whatever, big deal, who cares? But then I read it. And there was some very interesting stuff in this article on PC Gamer. So Devil May Cry 5 has been out a year, and I guess it's standard practice for a lot of companies to put de novo on their game when it's first released. After a couple of months, when the piracy has died down, then they'll remove it. So but
do they pay a monthly fee? Is that why would you ever remove it?
Because de novo is like the worst DRM. A lot of people have said, oh, it ruins your SSDs. There's high CPU usage. And it's been kind of like a gray area, like does it or does it really? But with Devil May Cry 5, so for a short time, when they made this change, there existed two versions of Devil May Cry 5, one with DRM and one without. So people ran a bunch of tests and found that you get about 20 frames per second more on the one that doesn't have DRM.
Wow.
25% faster.
Wow.
They said. So kind of confirmed that, yes, DRM, de novo, this particular type is does impact because it runs while the game is running to protect it from encryption or from being from being cracked.
Correct.
But yeah, man. I don't know. This is all news to me. I did not realize this. I found this article very interesting.
Yeah. It's good to know.
Yep. All right. We got two more here. System Shock 3. The System Shock 3 team is no longer employed.
Ooh.
This comes from an article on Video Games Chronicle. So this has been kind of rumored. There have been some key figures that have left the team, but an anonymous developer said that everybody's been fired and it's just been scrapped. I guess it's also been confirmed that for the last year, they've been struggling to find a publisher. They could have self-published, but they were trying to find a publisher and they weren't able to.
With an IP that big, you can self-publish and definitely, like, if you make a decent game, you can do it yourself.
I think this might be tied up too with Starbreeze. Remember, they had a lot of financial trouble. Starbreeze Studios, the Payday guys, they were going to originally be their publisher, but they had some financial troubles.
Oof.
That set them back.
Does that mean we're not going to see the next Payday, you think?
Yeah, there was an article about it a couple months ago. We talked about it. It got pushed way back, like a year or two back.
They should do some crowdfunding. There'd be enough people to back the next one.
Yeah, well, they did. I mean, they showed this game off at GDC 2019, or what they had made of the game. So we knew that they were hard at work creating this, and it's just been shelved. So it still exists. It's out there. Maybe somebody will pick it up at a later date. But that's unfortunate. I know a lot of people would have loved to see a another System Shock game.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
All right, last bit of news. EA has hiked up the prices for their games only on Steam. But, okay, that headline was a little misleading. Right. This is not for U.S. This affects mostly Europe and a lot of other countries.
Damn it, dude.
It's like the third time, man. There we go. Whacking that microphone. So, the title was a little bit misleading there. So if you're in Europe, if you're in Mexico, Singapore, South Korea, you may find that the EA games on Steam have gone up. Not Jedi Fallen Order, however. Just a lot of the older ones, like Mass Effect.
I wonder what the point of that was.
Well, it's very interesting. So the article says that there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. Like, it's like randomly some games are more like doubled in price for no apparent reason. Like, it's not consistent with the countries either. Like, because games are different prices in countries. Russia is very cheap to get games. And before Steam region locked, people would...
buy them there, and
yeah, they would pay somebody in Russia to buy a game for them, and they would gift that game back to you for a price,
right? Maybe so, to you specifically, right? A few times, maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bought a lot of games that way. I bought so many games that way. Yeah, too many. But yeah, I don't know. That's so weird. It doesn't make any sense.
SimCity 4 is now $80.
I don't know. Right? I don't think that's $80 American.
Yeah, what does R money sign mean?
Is that rubles?
Fuck, I don't know, dude.
Oh, no, that's in Brazil. What is Brazil? Rupees? No, that's India.
Wait, don't tell me. I know what Brazil uses. It's... Wait, is it dollars? Brazilian dollars?
I don't know. I mean, U.S. money is good in most places, at least in Mexico. Brazilian currency. The real.
Yeah.
Is it real or real? How do you pronounce
real,
it?
Real, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's weird. I don't mind. Like, if games were a little bit more expensive on Steam for EA's games, I wouldn't mind that, because that's kind of how it is anyway. You can get a game cheaper on Ubisoft than you can on Steam.
Right.
Because you're buying like directly from them.
Yeah. They save 30%. So they pass the savings on to you.
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind that if it was consistent like that, but this just seems very random.
Yeah. It almost seems like an error.
Yeah. I don't know. That seems like a lot of steps and a lot of things to go through to change those prices. I can't imagine someone doing it by mistake.
What is that thing they were talking to, Bobby? In the dig right there. What is that thing?
Oh, that's an alien.
It's pretty alien looking.
Yeah. You bring him back to life. You find these life crystals that bring things back to life, but it kind of changes people. So,
Ooh. Yeah,
intrigue.
I feel like if you watch a YouTube video of somebody playing this, like a playthrough, it'd be just as good as playing it, like without the frustration.
Probably. I mean, the joy in these types of games is figuring out the puzzle for yourself.
I thought it was the story on this one.
I mean, the story is good. So, yeah, maybe you could get that. But I don't know. You take away the interactivity of something, and it loses a lot of its
luster. You going to finish this for sure this week?
I don't know. I do want to finish it, but now, like, I have to do the boring task of revisiting all the places that I was at to try and find a metal plate.
It reminds me of Divinity, dude.
It was the exact situation.
Yeah.
Of course, there was no going back on that. We totally screwed ourselves. Yeah. And I saw an interesting note somewhere. When I was researching this game, so ever since Loom, which is a game that came out in, I think, 91 or 93, another LucasArts adventure game, ever since Loom, they have made it so you cannot screw yourself over.
Yeah, every game should have that in it.
Yeah, well, I do remember in Maniac Mansion, it was very easy. There were so many places where you could miss something or do something wrong, and it would screw up your entire playthrough. Maniac Mansion was the game that I always remember being like that, but apparently it was a lot more common in these LucasArts games or other point-and-click adventure games.
I fucked myself over in Final Fantasy VII, dude. I've never beat Sephiroth. I mean, I might be wrong now. I mean, I was like, I forgot, 16, 17, 18, when that came out. I don't know. But anyway, you know, you embark towards the end of the game, and they say, you know, you can't go back at this point. Mm-hmm. Like if you get on this
boat. Yeah, that happens in Final Fantasy III as well.
If you get on this ship, then like that's it. And I was like, yeah, I'm plenty powerful enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fucking.
And you just got decimated.
Yeah, dude, I just got decimated. And I was like, what do I do? Like, there's nothing to farm. There's no way to get more XP. Like, what do I do? There might have been a way out, but I was super frustrated.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that sucked really bad.
Warconius has an interesting point in chat here. He says EA is launching Access on Steam, which may have something to do with that. Mm. I had forgotten they were doing that. So they're going to have their own version of Origin Access on Steam?
There it is, dude. It's because the perceived value that you get for the Origin. Like,
no, maybe.
Whoa, I'm getting a $35, $45, and a $55 value, or games.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yep.
All right, we've got a ton of listener questions here, so let's get to that.
I don't know. Just guitar solo, no reason.
I don't know. Maybe we could just put on the... There we go. I don't know.
Just let it play, dude. It's so nice.
All right, hopefully it's not too loud. This first one isn't a comment. This is from No Fear, or isn't a question, it's a comment. No Fear says, just came here to say that I listen to your podcast every week. I like it. Greetings from Holland, the best country in the world.
You might be the only, or you might be our own
Hollandaise? Hollandaise sauce?
Yeah, Hollandaise.
Did they make Hollandaise sauce?
Hollite?
Hollander?
Hollandotes?
Yeah, maybe. Hollandaise sauce, making broccoli work. All right. thank you, by the way. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Neo Reloaded asks, who has been the best past caster, Chad, Mini, or Ray?
Oh, they all had their...
Yeah. People always ask, like, they want us to, like, spill the beans, like, get into the dirt. Like, but, no, everybody had their own... unique style that they brought to the table, and I think we appreciated each of them in their own special way.
I miss Chad because, like, I lived with Chad for 20 years, and like, we have such a rapport. We had 20 years of rapport. We had 15 years of rapport when we started the podcast, and so we can just bounce off each other and like really insult each other with no like repercussions, you know?
Yeah,
but people thought when he left that we were like really upset with each other, and it was just a regular episode.
But at the same time, I think that kind of worked to our disadvantage at times because you guys had such a shorthand between each other that you would constantly reference things and nobody knew what you were talking about. And it was also at the beginning of our podcasting days where we just weren't good at it.
Yeah.
Or we were worse than we were now. so yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think we had good times with all of them.
Yeah.
Especially
many. I had $40 one time. Woo!
All right. Warconius asks, this is a hypothetical here. You've all been stuck in a room for a week with a Catholic priest, gangster, cheerleader, Target employee, and the CEO of a major corporation. Food is running low. You're tired of shitting in a bucket. Zombies are outside your door. You have an opportunity to run and get the hell out of there and jump into a car. It only has room for five. What happens next? Who do you trust?
Aren't those five people? How many people is that?
I don't know. That question's a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, basically, like I'm taking a math test here. When do these trains meet?
Fuck the cheerleader, or try to.
I feel like the Target employee is the most trustworthy person out of there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're usually pretty helpful.
And they'd be good at inventory management.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that bright red shirt is probably going to give them away in any situation.
The CEO is definitely a... you can't trust that guy. You got to kill him right away. He's a zombie. You throw him into the zombie so everybody else can get in the car.
I mean, he serves no purpose in the apocalypse, man. Like, what does he do? Is he going to merge a deal or something?
Yeah. You're going to tell me useless. What to do? You're going to tell me what to do? No, you give the gangster a fucking knife and he shanks all the... Yeah. Oh, we got to get rid of the Catholic priest, too. For sure.
Catholic priests aren't all that bad.
Ooh.
All right, Warconius, he's got a couple of them here.
Oh, boy.
So he's got a suggestion for the show. Pick any game from Bobby's Steam catalog at random, and every week over the course of a year, you can rank them on an ongoing basis. Call it Searching for Hidden Gems in the Library, or Bobby's Hidden Jewels Tindering Games.
I would have to get the number that you have, and then just do a random generator, right? Because I've always flirted with the idea of just going down the list, but that'll just never.
Yeah, we need some I don't know. Maybe if we had some people pick the games or just some way. But the problem is I've got some good games in there, too. There is a lot of crap. So I don't know. Maybe we'd have to just, if we a good one got picked, we'd have to scratch that and just play like Bad Rats or something.
If I'm wondering what to play next time, maybe I'll do that. I'll do the RNG on your library.
Yeah, just pick some terrible asset flip from my game library. Yeah. Okay, so here he's got... okay, this one seems more like a comment. Has there been anything sadder in video games than Anthem and BioWare named Trampled in the Dirt?
Dude, it's been happening. I was talking to Chad about this. So if there was two companies that I thought were bulletproof, it would have been Bethesda and Blizzard. And like if you would ask me 3 years ago. And look at them now, right? I would think both of those cases are sadder than BioWare. I mean, BioWare did make some good games, but they weren't like, I never thought of them as a brand that you could trust. They were a developer you could trust.
But you know, they joined EA. They had that deal with EA, and EA has just been notoriously chewing up and spitting out developers. So we kind of saw this coming. I mean, we saw it happen with Maxis. We saw it happen with Visceral. We kind of knew it could happen with BioWare.
They say this just in, EA decided to completely revamp Anthem. So we'll see where that goes. Hopefully, it's going to take some drastic stuff to get people to come back.
I mean, it has happened before. That's a big comeback, but...
It has happened before.
All right. Let's see. Oh, man, you got a lot of questions, Warconius.
And then Zap follows up, but with four.
Yeah, he's got a couple here. That's okay, because Warconius didn't have any questions last week. We had a week without Warconius.
What?
So he's making up for it.
Warconius.
He asks, how much streaming have you tried? He's tried the PlayStation Now, which is terrible. The PlayStation Remote, not great. Steam Link, not good. Stadia, all right. GeForce, the best out of all of them.
Huh. I've tried the Steam Link.
Yeah, we've tried the Steam Link.
Through one wall, and it was terrible.
Even at its best, Steam Link works only with, like, certain kinds of games that just aren't really graphic intensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were giving those things away pretty much at the last Steam
sale. $5.
So.
Yeah.
They were cleaning house on those. Yeah, that was unfortunate. It's I don't have much of a need for streaming.
Stadia, all right, but not what they promised. Yeah. I haven't tried Stadia yet. I don't know. Why stream it? There's no reason for me to stream a game.
It's kind of a solution to a problem I don't have.
Yeah.
JP Diddy, thanks for the subscription.
Thanks, homie.
Okay. Warconius also asks, new releases will be slow in the next little while here. Are you working on backlog? If yes, which ones?
No. There's just too much new stuff, and I just got to keep the ball rolling.
I am kind of working on backlogs. I've been doing that for a while, though. I mean, really, the only purchase I have coming up is Doom Eternal in March.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, it's probably going to be a lot of good games that I just didn't have a chance to play. You could make backlog your entire thing these days. There's so many good games out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Games that send you birthday wishes, aside from Metal Gear and Death Stranding. So they were talking about this in the Discord channel, and someone mentioned another game that I cannot recall at the moment. Let me look it up.
I want to say that MMOs do it. Didn't WoW do it? Maybe it was EverQuest.
Your account, if your account had a birthday, then they would send you something.
Huh.
But your actual birthday, I don't think so.
I can't think of any other ones. The launchers do. Some launchers do, I think.
Yeah, Soup Plantation. Do they have Soup Plantation? No one's going to get that joke. They don't have Soup Plantation anywhere but Southern California.
Oh, they give you free meal or something?
Oh, yeah, you like a muffin or something. It's not that great. Yeah. Because someone had a really good answer there. I'll look it up.
Star Wars Galaxies gave me a Yoda emote. That's cool.
Oh, nice. A Yoda emote? Death Stranding. Oh, yeah. Mudkip says tons of Nintendo ones like Animal Crossing, The Sims 4. Okay.
Gummy says, Emilio, check out Wolfen. It looks like Grim Dawn. I think you would love it. Hmm. I'm too busy with Grim Dawn, dude. But yeah, maybe later. I'm going to put it on the radar for sure next week. I know it's doing well.
Zap's got some questions here. What's the weirdest animal you've ever eaten? Maybe an ostrich?
A live sea urchin? I ate one of those. Well, the two halves were still walking away from each other when I ate it. I've eaten a lot of stuff. A lot of insects, ants, spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen me do this? Probably. Is that what
you
said?
Yeah, I think you did it on stream before.
Oh, yeah.
Grossed out chi.
Yeah. What else? Shit. As far as, like, I guess weird animals, you know, you go to some restaurants and they have something weird, like alligator, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
There's a burger place around here that's, I think it's called Crazy Burger, actually, where you can get like a burger made out of anything.
Hmm.
Human flesh.
Ooh.
Let's see. Also, Zap asks, what's your favorite game to play when you're not feeling well?
I like to watch, like, movies, like Lord of the Rings. If I'm really bad,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay in bed all day. I'll watch the trilogy of Lord of the Rings.
Well, you got the time, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good movie when you're sick.
Because I don't want to play games. I want to lay down if it's mm-hmm. really bad.
If I'm well enough to play video games, I'm probably well enough to go to work. I work sick all the time, and I know I shouldn't do it. But last year, about this time, when I got so sick, like couldn't even get out of bed, couldn't play video games at all. Like the only thing that I could watch... I found this show called, I think it was the Lucas Brothers.
Dallas?
No. No, because I literally was super sensitive to light and sound. Like I couldn't deal with anything that was like loud or bright.
You almost died, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Man.
I will still say that you lost like 5% of yourself that weekend or whatever it was.
That was when then some changes happened that day, man. I was never the same after that. No. That was the first time ever in like 5 or 6 years that we missed a podcast episode. Like we went a week without that. But the only show I could watch was this weird cartoon called the Lucas Brothers. Is that Kenny and Keith Lucas are the guys who...
Yeah, they're comedians.
Yeah, they're comedians, but they made this show where they...
Something about drugs, right?
Is yeah, they smoke a bunch of weed. They talk about Sister from the 90s. Like, it's just a weird, random, like, Adult Swim type show. But, like, if you've seen them do comedy, like, they're really, like, deadpan. They're just like, hey, what's up? You know, like,
They're twin brothers.
Yeah, they're twin brothers. And I don't know. Like, I just watched, like, every single episode of this show while I was sick because it was the only thing that I could watch. It was the only thing, like, light enough and not just...
You think it's good?
They had some funny ones in there. Yeah. And I mean, come on, a sister reference. I'm down for that. Sister. All right. Zep also asks, what's your unpopular gamer opinion? Mine is most retro games aren't actually good by modern standards and aren't usually worth replaying.
I agree with Zep.
Mm. I don't know if that's that unpopular.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people like, they like retro games, but they aren't playing them.
Yeah.
And as someone who plays a lot of retro games, there's actually very few that hold up.
And they like the idea of owning them too. Like they like mm-hmm. having the cartridge.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
But an unpopular gamer opinion. Oh man. I feel like all my opinions are unpopular.
Yeah. New games aren't good. Would be maybe.
Man, I mean, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just question the validity of video games in general. I'm just like, what am I doing with my life?
Okay, are we going to get a... What's that guy's name? Fucking... Linus. Did you watch that?
I watched a little bit of it. Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing.
That's basically what... He was having, like, a midlife crisis about, like, why am I promoting consumerism and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like... Joaquin Phoenix, man, his speeches. So he won Best Actor, which I kind of wanted him to win that just so I could see what truth bomb he was going to drop this time. And he did not disappoint.
Man. He did animal rights, right? This time?
Yeah. And just kind of environmentalism in general.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think as I get older, I become a lot more aware of that kind of stuff too. And just, I don't know. You kind of see things for what they are really. And you see the cycles when you get older, dude, when you get old enough, like you've seen shit go away and come back and do the same thing again, And I don't know, a lot of video games are just like, they don't interest me at all. So
I was thinking about it, like in my 20s, I didn't give a shit. In my 30s, I thought I had it all figured out, but I was wrong. In my 40s, I think I have it figured out. And then now that I have it figured out, it's all downhill, you know, like I'm going to get
figured it out too late.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the end of the road already. I have more days behind me than in front of me.
I don't know. I think I find I don't know. I'm finding new things out. Like now my whole thing is investing. I've been reading a lot of books and figuring out stuff like that. I'm like, God, ooh, if I knew this.
You do some day trading?
No, dude, that's horrible. Don't day trade. Rule number one, don't day trade. That's a terrible investment. But
people make a lot of money, dude.
People make a lot of money off of other people who think day trading is good. Like if you want to make a lot of money, just like be a financial investor and then just talk people into like life insurance or something. But, no, it's all about long-term. It really is. And, I wish I would have figured this out way earlier in my life. If you're in your 20s and you want to be a millionaire, like at me on Discord, man, like, oh, it's crazy. Actually don't, dude. I put myself out there for a lot of stuff, but honestly, like I just wish I knew the stuff then that I did now. And so I wish I had like, the discipline and patience.
Bobby, I need financial advice. And then you're like, give them a whole bunch of, and they're like, no, in DRG, dude, I need to know how to use my points.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the biggest thing is like, you want to be a millionaire. Like millionaires don't really act like millionaires. Like the people that make or have a bunch of money because they don't spend a bunch of money. So if you really want like returns on your investment, you have to live well beneath your means, which I certainly do.
I do understand like, not getting a lot of people buy, they find out what they can afford on a house and then buy the maximum house that they can get.
Yeah.
And then they're stressed out forever. And
I never understood that. Like, why would you want, you have a giant house, but you got a lot of people in it. I would never want a big house. Like
this
all
is
the,
a waste of space.
Yeah. Dude, like the chores you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of chores, man. Like I don't have a lot of upkeep or a lot
and
of
the
overhead.
Other thing is if you have space, you will fill it. And this place has tons of space, so it's all filled to the brim. I don't have to tell you. Anyway, let's stop being old men.
Stop our what's that show? Mad Money with Kramer. No, we aren't that hype. Yeah, see, Red Rum gets it. Save, save, save. Index funds, folks. That's all I'm going to say. ETFs. All right, next question. Shadow Master, what's the biggest update you have downloaded for a game, and you still don't see a difference?
I can't think of one, but there has been. I remember.
Well, you remember when the first, that what was that Lord Shadow of Mordor was the first one?
Yeah.
That had like a 10 gig.
Update?
A 10 gig high-res texture pack.
Oh.
And this was at a time where a lot of graphics cards couldn't even support that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what was out around that time, but I remember downloading that and not seeing any difference, but I don't think I had the monitor or the graphics card to really support that. That was like the first time I saw a game where you go into the graphics options and every time you turn stuff up, you'd see a little bar fill like, oh, this is taking up this much of your video card's memory. And I thought that was really cool.
I want to say the last Modern Warfare, not this one, but the one like 2 years ago or something, had like, the game was like 50 gigs and then the download was 50 gigs. And we're like, what the fuck is that? Hmm. And then I didn't play it enough to know the difference. But that's too big of a fucking update, man.
Yeah, that's a giant update.
Yeah.
All right. Shadowmaster has another question. What technology brand name do you trust over anything on the market? Brand loyalty. Do I have any? I guess I kind of do. I kind of go with Intel out of laziness and also NVIDIA just because I've been using them for so long. But if I do have any brand loyalty, it would be who makes my video card? EVGA. I am very loyal to that brand. A long time ago, we actually interviewed someone, Jacob, from EVGA.
Friedman, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, he's still there, and he still he helped a little bit on our last build.
Yeah, he actually donated or helped get us some of the parts for that WASD build, which is very cool.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, EVGA, first of all, I think they make superior products. Second of all, they've got good customer service and very responsive incentives. When I had to warranty. I did have to warranty one of their cards at one point, but it went totally smooth and it was a really good experience. So I've always kind of stood by that brand.
And they have a what the fuck edition, which is great.
And I, you know what? I also like their power supplies. I'm not using one at the moment. Or am I? I don't know. I don't even know what's my computer, man.
You've changed so much, Bob.
I know. Well, dude, how often do you look inside of your computer? The last time I rebuilt
Well, you used to have a catalog, like, it was all in your head.
Yeah, it's on my Twitch page. Look it up on my Twitch page. But I think I actually do have an EVGA power supply now. And they make very good power supplies. I've used them in several builds. Probably my own.
Yeah.
Any brands that you are faithful to when it comes to hardware?
I've always said Logitech just makes fucking solid shit, man.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Ever since that headset experience, I am so suspicious of their products.
The wireless one, right?
Yeah, it was the one that everybody had like 5 years ago. Like the, I can't remember the model number, but it was the same one with the microphone and
yeah,
all the connectivity.
What was the problem?
It would, especially as it got older, it would constantly disconnect. Constantly. This was during like the Smite days, I remember. Because I remember getting so upset playing Smite and just, you'd always hear the little ding, like it was disconnecting and then the ding that it was reconnecting. God, I hated that.
Yeah, but generally Logitech, I've never really steered me wrong. Except for that, like the Chaos Spectrum fucking mouse that I bought from them, the super expensive $120 mm-hmm. mouse. It broke like in the first year. But other mice, like the one that I've had, I don't know how long I've had that thing, 2.5 years, something like mm-hmm. that. They just last and last and last.
Yeah.
The webcam, fucking 3 years, 3.5 years, 4 years, I don't know. Still looks great.
Logitech makes so much stuff, too. They're just like ubiquitous. Like you can't get away from it.
They're
so
like Samsung.
Yeah, they're just everywhere. They make webcams, mice, keyboards, you know, everything. Let's see. Prosoro, are you guys excited for any of the upcoming ARPGs in 2020 and beyond, like Diablo 4, Torchlight 3, Last Epoch, Wolsen, nope. and Magic Legends?
Of course, Torchlight 3. I think the entire podcast is happy about that. Diablo 4 looks good, but, you know.
That's so far away, though.
Yeah, and I'm never...
And we're all kind of wary of Blizzard at this point.
Yeah.
But
Magic Legends, it kind of entices me because it, you know, Magic the Gathering, I played a lot. I've never like been into the lore at all. Like Chad's read books on the lore and stuff, mm-hmm. and there isn't really Magic. Well, I might be wrong. I might not know it so much that I'll get this wrong. But the lore for Magic changes so much because every new set that comes out is a different. Like existence, it's a different realm. So okay. there's not a wow. there might be a through line that goes through, but that's why they're planeswalkers. Probably like each new story is a different plane. They've gone through another portal.
Okay, that really gives them a lot of freedom.
Oh yeah, they can do whatever they want.
So this, I thought I'd pull this up because it came up twice. Wolsen, Lords of Mayhem. Wolsen, Wolcen, mm-hmm. odd spelling.
Is this multiplayer?
Early access, can't buy it. Oh, you can, $30. Is it multiplayer?
Yeah,
no.
Online co-op.
Oh, online co-op, yeah. Okay.
So it's a dungeon crawler. Well, we'd have to take a look at
this. Yeah, we'll take a closer look. But yeah, I don't know. I think we're all pretty hot for Torchlight 3 last episode.
Yeah.
These are not, by the way, like I've probably said this a bunch of times, but these are not my types of games. I got really hooked on the Diablo 3. But I think what I liked about that is just like the configuring of the character and, you know, optimizing him and then just watching that play out. But it was very grindy. I was still kind of in like a really bad grind phase back then. I was juggling like WoW and Heroes of the Storm as well as Diablo. So
yeah, you went deep with Blizzard before it all fell apart.
Yeah. All right. Last question from Sniper. How are your families with technology?
My mom's 82 and she texts and uses emojis. So that's pretty fucking good. It took her like 2 years to like learn it. But yeah, she doesn't answer her phone because by the time she realizes it's ringing and the speed that she moves, she can't get it out of her purse and into her hand and answer it. So it's always a game of cat and mouse trying to call my mom. But that's not, that's just, her body doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That's not like she doesn't know how to use a phone.
My parents learned to text about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And,
but they're way younger, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty, well, my dad's like 75, early 70s, but they're not good with technology like at all. It's pretty crazy how I took such an interest into it, and they just had never really had any interest in anything technical. But I find it funny, but also refreshing how old people are just, they don't value their cell phone. They don't regard it as something important. Mm. And like, I don't know, in a lot of ways I'm like that too. I'm like terrible to get a hold of on the phone, but they don't just give it the same value that everyone, like, literally anybody else is like,
it's my whole life.
Yeah. Like everything is right there. They're always on it. They're always pulling it out. If they don't have it on them, they're just like, oh, where, like nobody loses their cell phone, dude. Right. Like who loses their cell phone? Who, like, unless you got super drunk,
yeah. Like, and left it in an Uber.
And even if you were super drunk, not a lot of people lose their cell phone. Yeah. My parents just like put the cell phone somewhere and they're just like, forget about it for hours. It doesn't exist.
The person they talk to the most, they live with, right? So it's like, they're probably home a lot. You know what I mean? They're talking.
Well, no, they still have a landline. They have the same phone number that they had when I was like four. Damn. Like, they still got the landline and they probably use that more, but they are getting a little more technical. My dad especially is very, when I got him an iPad, I don't know, his birthday or something, I got him an iPad and he fell in love with that thing.
Yeah, I got my mom one too, about two, mm-hmm. 3 years ago. And she was already used to the phone, so it was just a natural progression.
Yeah.
And for her to wrap around that was a computer, because mm-hmm. she's always been interested in computers. She knows how to use Windows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But she was like, wait, like, where's this? Where's that? I was like, it's right here. You can just push this button. There's a keyboard. What? You know?
Yeah, I think iPads are great for people like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you watch porn on an iPad? Is that even possible?
Yeah, of course. You can browse the internet.
I suppose. Yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah. But,
I don't know.
It seems like
I've never done that on a mobile device, like not even on a phone. I don't know how that would work. Yeah.
Well, I guess you live by yourself. That's the only way these days, dude. I got to find a dark corner full of cobwebs and beat off like Gollum, dude.
Oh, yes, my precious.
Oh, that's disgusting. That is a visual none of us needed. Oh, my God. All right. And that's the show.
Yeah.
What's everyone playing next week?
Grim Dawn. And, man, I'm really digging the whole, like, I'm glad that you made that little list, man. Maybe I'll check out Wolsen, too. Like, I'm really digging the dungeon crawlers.
Is this
right
like
now.
You think it's going to be a 2020 trend, these dungeon crawlers? It looks like we got a lot coming.
Yeah, maybe. And the other thing is, I'm definitely going to play fucking whatever we talked about at the beginning, Synapse or something?
Mm-hmm.
Syndicate? No.
Oh, Synthetic with
synthetic.
A K.
Yeah,
with Synthetic. A K. Yeah, and you know, last week I said Kentucky Route Zero, and the reason I didn't play that this week was, number one, I remembered that interview that I did and talking about the dig, and so I wanted to get to that. But also, Kentucky Route Zero seems like a longer game, and I feel like I need more time for that. I don't think I can get through a sizable amount of that game in a week.
When's your next time off, Bobby?
Soon? Well, not really. Last week in March.
Okay. Yeah. So, perfect for Doom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect for Doom.
I think, dude, Doom might come out like the day I start vacation. How crazy would that be?
And if not, maybe you'd be a little sick.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I do have to use up vacation days. Apparently, because I never take time off, I have too many vacation hours. And so I have to take forced vacation. They're making me take days off, guys. But yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to get into this week. I'll find something. I'm trying to get away from the point and click and the slow paced games, but I keep falling back into it. So I will make an effort to do something a little faster paced this week.
Cool. Hey, try out Grim Dawn, dude. We're all playing.
I do have the game. Yeah, I do have the game.
Yeah. At least if you already have it, you don't have to buy the DLC. Mm-hmm. Just play it and You'll see what I'm talking about, the mixing of the...
So my character will probably not be saved, though, right?
Your old one?
Mm-hmm. I like old one from maybe 2016, yeah. Like a long time ago.
I don't
ago.
Know, probably not.
I don't think I progressed
much. Oh, then you
much.
Played it?
Yeah, we played it.
Oh.
Yeah, we played it with Chad. One summer we got into it.
Cool. Speaking for Bobby and myself...
precious titties, everyone. Got him.
Stick around if you're going to DLGCon. That's you, Gummy. That's you, Cricket. Minnie, are you in? Days, for sure. Lotion, non-confirmed.